Welcome, and thank you for standing by for today's conference call. At this time, I need to remind all participants that you are in a listen-only mode. However, we will be doing questions and answers today, at which time all parties will be asked to press star one to ask a question, make a comment. At this time, I need to remind parties today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections with this recording, please disconnect at this time. We'll go ahead and get started. Today's call started. Congressman Peterson, you can begin.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Good morning. I think most of you, I would assume, are pretty familiar with what happened or what's in the final bill that passed out of the committee. But, you know, we had a fairly successful markup. We're able to hold things pretty much together the way that Chairman Lucas and I had worked things out. And at the end of the day, we got a very good vote. I was very pleased that we had 13 of the 21 Democrats voted for the bill, which was better than I thought. And I think it demonstrates that there is an ability for us to get Democratic votes in spite of the fact that it's got cuts in the SNAP program. Having said that, you know, we have challenges facing us when we get to the floor. I talked to Frank last evening. You know, I think we're looking at the middle of June, it looks like. Go to the floor. We'll have to have discussions with the leadership in terms of, you know, whether we're going to be able to have a modified closed rule so we can have some limitation on amendments. Because if it's an open rule, I just think it's going to be so many amendments that not going to work. So we've got to work that through. And once that gets resolved, you know, we have some significant battles that we're going to have to fight on the floor. You know, the nutrition area, a lot of our folks on my side think there can't be one penny cut out of nutrition. That's a ridiculous point of view. On the other side, we have people think we should block grant this. Frankly, block granting welfare back in 96 was part of what caused the current problem at SNAP, the Cat-L situation. But you got guys that want to do that. You got people who want to make bigger cuts. What Frank and I did was try to find a middle ground that would make neither side happy and stick together. And that's what we did in committee, and we were successful in what we will do on the floor. We're going to have challenges, you know, in certain areas on the floor. You know, the dairy issue will be a contentious issue. There'll be a vote on sugar, which will also be contentious. There'll be other issues in other areas. So it's not going to be easy, but we think we can hold things together. And it looks like the Senate is on track to get their bill moved. And at the you know, at the end of the day, this bill is going to be written in conference, and we just need to figure out how to get this to conference. That's the trick. And, you know, that's why I worked with Frank to agree to the higher SNAP, the nutrition cuts, because it helps him and helps us get enough votes to get this bill through the floor of the House so we can get to conference. And at the end of the day, you know, the Senate, in my opinion, is not going to go along with any elimination of categorical eligibility. Even though I think that really needs to be examined, you know, so there's certain things that are required to get the bill passed over here that are not going to fly in the Senate and vice versa. We understand that, but we have to get to conference where we can sort all this stuff out. So we're, you know, pleased with what we've been able to do so far. We came out with a good, strong bipartisan vote. Actually a better vote than we had last year, even though we had more cuts. And we're looking forward to getting to the floor and getting this thing resolved. If we can get to the floor in the middle of June, the Senate can move their bill, we can get this thing done before the August recess, and that is our goal at this point. So with that, I will open it up.
Are you wanting to open up for questions, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone wishing to ask a question at this time? We're going to ask you to please unmute your line and state your name at the prompting. Your name is required to introduce your question. Is star 1 to ask a question? Should for some reason you need to withdraw a request, that is star 2. Star 1 to ask a question, and it can take just a moment for questions to start coming through. Stand by. Okay, first up will be Jeff Naley. Go ahead, sir.
Congressman, thanks for your time and for all your hard work in advance of this.
Yeah.
When I talked to this week in D.C., it appears to be some very passionately polar sides of the issue. As you mentioned on nutrition, passionately polar on whether there should be target prices and loan rates that should be coupled, passionately polar. How do we work through those issues? Do you already have some ideas of how to work through the Title I and how to work through the nutrition, or is it just get to the conference and figure it out then?
Well, I have my ideas about where this is going to end up, having been through this for 4 years now and having had a lot of discussions with Chairman Stabenow and Senator Cochran and Chairman Lucas. So I have my view about where this is going to end up. I am not going to talk about that today, because I don't think that would be smart.
Thank you.
That would cause more trouble than it would solve. But I think there's a way to work this out. It's not going to be easy, and there are strong feelings in certain areas, but, you know, this is normal. We went through that in 08, and you just have to work it out. You know, I'm not going to get my way 100%. Frank isn't going to get his way 100%. There's going to be things that we agree to at the end that we're not going to be real happy with, and the same thing over in the Senate, but that's the way the process works.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll continue on with Chris Clayton. Go ahead, sir. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Congressman. Following up on that tone a little bit, though, in 2008, you really had a lot of strong support from Representative Pelosi. Do you think there's going to be that kind of whipping, so to speak, among floor members by the Republican majority? And in 2008, could you also explain what you guys had to do in the committee level on your own kind of whipping strategy before you move to the floor?
Well, we in 08, we had a full-time person, Jack Danielson, that put together a whip operation because we expected, you know, the administration to oppose us. And so, you know, we had 317 votes that we were able to put together and you know, override a veto twice. We don't have to worry about that this time. So we got to get 218 votes in the House. You know, that's it's a tricky thing because you have some Democrats that have taken the position, which I think is not defensible, that SNAP can't be cut one penny. I think that's a ridiculous position. You know, you got people on the other side that want to, you know, $130 billion of cuts, and that's ridiculous. You know, so, you know, we got to figure out where that balance is and how we find those 218 votes. I've suggested to Frank that, you know, that he find somebody like Jack Danielson to help us whip this. But it's not we don't have to do what we did in 08 because we aren't, at least we're not fighting an administration. You know, we're meeting starting Monday and Tuesday. We're meeting to put our WIP operation together for dairy and sugar, Mike Simpson and I, and we will be putting together an organization and trying to make sure we got enough votes to maintain those programs on the floor. And, you know, there's other areas that we have to concentrate on as well. But, you know, we don't expect, you know, Boehner is not going to be for this bill. Cantor, I would be surprised if he is, but I think Kevin McCarthy probably will be for the bill, who's the whip. So I expect at the end of the day there'll be some help on their side, and there'll be help on our side. Speaker Pelosi, or Leader Pelosi, is behind us. I've been talking to her. She will be supporting what we're doing. So,
well, thank you.
Okay, we're going to continue on. Derek Kane, your line is now open. Go ahead, sir.
Congressman, thank you. You know, you said that this bill will be written in conference, and that's partially the reason why you agreed to the cuts in the SNAP. Does that mean that if it does get to conference that you might push for, you know, a little bit lower of a reduction?
Well, I'm not going to push for anything, but because I've made a deal with Frank, and I'm comfortable with it. You know, I think the CAD-L, if people actually looked into that, it's not defensible. And it doesn't make any sense, you know. But the Senate, you know, Senator Stabenow, we had these discussions last year. I tried to get her to look at $8 billion of reductions, and she resisted very strongly. That was at a time when she had Senator Roberts as the ranking member, and he was willing to cut significantly more. Now you have Senator Cochran, who has said publicly that he wants no cuts in SNAP. So you got him with that position. You got Senator Stabenow, who says her limit is $4 billion. I think that's where the resistance is going to come. It's going to be from those people in the Senate, not from me.
Thank you.
At this time, I have no one else standing by, but I would like to remind parties one more time. It is star one at this time. Thank you. Again, it is star one to ask a question. Please stand by. One moment. Alan Brigier, your line's open. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Congressman Peterson. In 2008, one area that got a lot of attack on the floor and in the press was the direct payment program. And it got through, but now it's 2013, and direct payments are going to be dead. Now you're seeing a lot of those same organizations train their fire on crop insurance. There will be challenges to crop insurance. I think the consensus is that crop insurance will get through. But do you worry that over time support for crop insurance is going to erode to the point where there may need to be a restructuring at some point?
Well, I don't know about a restructuring, but I've told people that as soon as direct payments are, you know, this bill passes and direct payments are eliminated, those folks that were after direct payments are going to train all their fire on the crop insurance system. There's no question about that. Some of these people do this for a living, and, you know, they stir this up because that's how they get paid, you know, and hard to tell exactly, you know, who they're fronting for. Maybe it's just they found a niche where they can figure out how to make some money. But in any event, you know, they'll clearly be focusing on it. But in terms of restructuring, I mean, I think we've put together a system that works. We had the biggest drought, you know, that we've had since the 30s. And we had no major call for a disaster, ad hoc disaster program, and the reason is the crop insurance system worked. So I think in reality, the discussion shouldn't be about how crop insurance operates in terms of the protection. The discussion should be the level of government subsidy. I think that is a legitimate place to have a discussion when we get to it. Is 62% the right number? Or should it be less? You know, that would be I think, a valid discussion to have. I've been looking into the flood insurance situation. Flood insurance is being subsidized roughly the same amount as crop insurance. So if we're going to have this discussion and they want to reduce government subsidy and crop insurance, then I would argue we ought to be looking at flood insurance as well. Because I think there's more government, more reason for the government to be behind crop insurance than there is flood insurance, because crop insurance supports the food production system, which is a national security issue and has much bigger implications than whether you're going to build a mansion on the the Outer Banks that gets wiped out every other year, and why the government should subsidize that. That's where when we get to this discussion, that's where I think it should be focused. And the other thing I hear in my district about crop insurance, and I've heard this other places in the country, about whether the subsidy should be there for an unlimited amount of acres, or maybe at some level, 10,000 acres or something, that after that, you pick up the cost and the government doesn't subsidize it. That's another thing that I hear people talk about, because they think some of these folks are using the government subsidy of crop insurance to buy more land and drive up the price of land. And so those are issues, I think, that will come up, when we get into the next Farm Bill sequence, which will be sometime in the future. And, frankly, the way this thing is going, I'm not sure, if there'll be the ability to pass another Farm Bill 5 years from now.
It's interesting that you bring up the example of flood insurance, because you hear a lot of moral hazard arguments with flood insurance that, yeah, people are building mansions on the Outer Banks who shouldn't be and certainly should not be getting government support. If the flood insurance support is similar to the crop insurance level support, you could then logically follow that there may be some of the same concerns in the crop insurance industry of moral hazard and people growing crops or certain crops in areas where they shouldn't be.
Yeah,
is that something that your farmers are seeing?
Well, we've commented that, some extent, because the way it works, if you're in an area where you've had crop losses, what happens is what you can cover is reduced, because you have to, what you can base your coverage on is what you've produced, over the last 5 years, and so the system corrects for that. The flood insurance system doesn't do that, So the way they've designed these programs take some of the moral hazard out of the system. Now, there have been people in trying to, put in fictitious yield amounts, to try to get around that. And we had Senator Lugar saying, that you shouldn't farm in North Dakota because it's too risky,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of a ridiculous position. But, I think the moral hazard issue is much better addressed in the crop insurance system than it is in the flood insurance system.
Okay, we'll continue on here. We're going to go Don Wick, you're next.
Congressman, with the conservation compliance tie-in with crop insurance in the Senate, but on the House Ag Committee bill, how do you see that issue coming together as we get to the floor and ultimately into conference?
Well, that will be a fight. The chairman feels strongly about this. I supported him. So the position of the committee is to not tie the two together. There will be an amendment on this on the floor. This will be a tough fight. We may not win, but we'll we'll deal with what comes out of the situation. So if the bill stays the way it came out of the Ag Committee and the they're not tied together in the House, we still have to deal with the Senate because Senator Stabenow, you know, they had a 65, 30-some vote over there. Her position is that she has to have this in the bill at the end of the day. So, you know, this is just another one of those sticky areas that have to get worked out when we get to conference. Oh. All right, well, they tell me that's the last question, so thank you all, and we'll hopefully get going on this, and we can get this thing resolved. It's been going on too long, and it's time we get this done, and I'm pretty optimistic now that it's finally going to happen. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to at least work through the process. So thank you all for being with us today, and I look forward to talking to you as we go through this process. Thanks.
At this time, all parties are welcome to go ahead and disconnect from today's conference. At this time, parties are invited to go ahead and disconnect from the call. Thank you so much for joining, and have a great day.